So let's talk a little bit about Yak Nahaz. And Yak Nahaz is, I know when I was younger in yeshiva, we learned about Pesachim. So Yak Nahaz was a very famous, that word itself, for some reason, just sticks, Yak Nahaz. And so Yak Nahaz, as the Gemara tells us, is what happens when you have Shabbos and Yom Tov come together, so with the order of Kiddush and the order of Havdalah. And then we paskin, we say Yak Nahaz. If Shabbos leads into a Yom Tov, leads into a Pesach, leads into Shavuos, leads into Sukkot, we do Yak Nahaz, which means Yayin, we say Hagafen, Kiddush, we say Ner, we say Havdalah, and Zman. Zman's the last thing. So there's a very interesting Rashbam here in explaining how this works, why we do this order. And he says, in the Dibur Maschil Mashal, he says, there's a machlokas whether you do Yak Nahaz or do you do Yak Zina, which means the Zayin should be earlier. The Zayin should be after Kiddush, but before Havdalah. Or do you say Zman goes even after Havdalah all the way at the end? That's the machlokas in the Gemara. And what the Rashbam explains is that you say the Zman right after Kiddush because the Zman is going on Kiddush. You can't have Shechiyanu unless you have Kiddush. Shechiyanu comes because of the Yontif. What makes Yontif? Kiddush. I'm making Kiddush. It's the Yontif of Pesach is beginning. So therefore, since it's the Yontif of Pesach, I need to say Zman. I need to say Shechiyanu. Havdalah is about what took place. Havdalah is on Shabbos, which is over. I'm not saying a Shechiyanu on Havdalah. That's behind me already. That's a Shabbos is over. So therefore, you put the Zman after Kiddush as the first opinion. That's the Yak Zina approach. And Havdalah is said afterwards, because Zman isn't going on Havdalah. But then the Rashbam says, according to Rava, where you say Yak Nahaz, where Zman is all the way at the end, he says also there, Shechiyanu isn't going on Kiddush, it's not going on Havdalah either. Because we say Kiddush all the time. What's a Shechiyanu on Kiddush? We say Kiddush every Friday night. Ah, so we say something different on Yom Tov. Okay, it's still Kiddush, it's still the mitzvah of Kiddush. And he says, we don't say Shechiyanu on Havdalah, because we say Havdalah every single Matzei Shabbos. So we know Shechiyanu is only on something that's new. I'll get to Shechiyanu in just a second. And therefore he says Shechiyanu said all the way at the end because it's kind of an afterthought. In theory, Gemara and Ervin says, if I'm walking in the Shuk, and let's say Yom Tov begins, I got lost. I have no cup of wine. I've got nothing to eat. I would say a Shechiyanu in the Shuk. I don't need a cup of wine to say Shechiyanu. So we see from there, says the Rashbam, that Shechiyanu is completely separate and independent from the Kosha Bracha. And that's why Shechiyanu is at the end. There's just to highlight that's not connected to Havdalah, it's not connected to Kiddush. That's the Rashbam's understanding. So Rav Harowitz in the back says, I'm not sure Rav Harowitz or Rav Hurwitz, so he says in the back of the Gemara, he says, no. You know why you say Shechiyanu at the end? It's the complete opposite. He says Shechiyanu at the end because it actually is qualifying Kiddush, it is qualifying Havdalah. Meaning Shechiyanu is being said on Kiddush, it's the new Yontif, it's Pesach. Shechiyanu is being said on Havdalah. We're saying Havdalah. So that's what he says. And it doesn't make sense what he says because we say Havdalah, remember, it's Shabbos, Matzei Shabbos, it's Saturday night leading into Pesach. We say Havdalah every single Matzei Shabbos. So why would Rav Harowitz think that you're saying a Shechiyanu on Havdalah? According to the Rashbam, I understand why the Shechiyanu is being said on Kiddush. Because I say Kiddush Kiddush is unique. Kiddush a Yontif is perhaps unique. But Havdalah, it's no different than any other Matzei Shabbos that I say Havdalah. That's the question we're trying to understand. So let's just ignore that for a moment, put that in the back burner. Let's discuss a little bit about Shechiyanu, a little bit about Havdalah, and then hopefully we'll put everything together. So just a basic background, whenever you see Shechiyanu, you have to raise the following question, just as general background. There's two Gemaras about understanding the nature of Shechiyanu. There's one Gemara in Brachos that tells us, when do you say Shechiyanu? Whenever a person buys a kana, buys chadash, kana, beged chadash. You buy something new, you buy a new house, you buy a new car, you buy a new suit, you say Shechiyanu. Why? Why do you say Shechiyanu? You're happy. It's simcha. Shechiyanu is whenever you're besimcha, a certain level of simcha, then one would say a Shechiyanu. It's a din of simcha. There's another Gemara in Ervin. The Gemara there talks about saying something that comes mizman lezman, that comes every so often. Not Shechiyanu, not simcha necessarily. You got to a new milestone. Now, oftentimes milestones are happy occasions as well. But the Gemara there says it's about zman lezman. You got to a new milestone. You thank Hashem for reaching a new time period. But not because of simcha. I'll bring nafka minis to really highlight the difference between zman and the difference between Shechiyanu. Simcha. So again, is it about simcha buying a new beged? Or is it about reaching a new milestone, which is just a new zman? So one example of this nafkamina would be as follows. Would a person be able to say a shechayanu during 3 weeks? The 3 weeks in the summer, which are not happy times. So the we paskin not to, because shechayanu, to be happy during the 3 weeks would be inappropriate. But the Gra says, why can you say shechayanu? It's a new zman. It's a new milestone. It's a new time. If you haven't had the new seasons of blueberries came out, so now it's a new zman. It's a new season. So who cares if it's 3 weeks? Who cares if it's not a happy time? It's about a new zman. I made another year in the life. I'm thinking of Kadosh Baruch Hu for living another year. So each time there's a new season of fruits, a new something in my life, I could thank Hashem. And nothing to do at all with simcha. It's just about reaching a new zman. Another example. Is there going to be a shechayanu at a bris milah? So what do we say?
Sfardim, yes.
Exactly. Sfardim and the Eretz Yisrael, minhag hagra, is to say a shechayanu at a bris milah. Ashkenazim and most other places in Chutz La'aretz, there is no shechayanu. So what's that machlokas whether you say shechayanu at a bris milah or not at a bris milah? So exactly. So the Gemara says in Ksubis, Gemara has a havamina. We should say when we bench at bris milah, we should say shesimcha b'ma'ono like we do by a wedding and in Sherev Bachos. But the Gemara says, how could you say shesimcha b'ma'ono when the tsar diyanuka, when the pain of the child is there, he's crying? So there's no simcha by bris milah. So that's why the Rishonim say there's no shechianu. But the Gra and the Sardin Paskin, that we do say shechianu at bris milah. Why? It's about Zman. The Gra l'shita so hold that Shechayanu is whenever there's a new Zman, a new milestone, even if there's no Simcha, you would still say a Shechayanu. Another nafkamina, just to bring this point out further. Is there Shechayanu when we start the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer or not? Right? There's no Shechayanu. We don't say. Why not, though? Anyone know any reasons why we don't say a Shechayanu at the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer? What? Exactly. So the Meiri says it's part of Pesach. So when we say Shechianu in Pesach, that includes Sfiras HaOmer. That's part of that. So there is really a Shechianu. We just don't see it highlighted independently, but it's there. Any other reasons anyone knows? There's a Baal Ma'or in the back of Maseches Pesachim. The end of Maseches Pesachim is where you find the sugyas of Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer, those who learn Daf Yomi, it comes up in Menachos. But there are not many Rishonim on Menachos. So they discussed it at the end of Ari Pesachim, because Pesach leads into Sfiras HaOmer. Even though the Gemara doesn't talk about Sfiras HaOmer, the Rishonim talk about it. So the Baal Mor in the back asks this question. He says, how come there is no Shechianu on Sfiras HaOmer? So his answer is, because since nowadays Sfiras HaOmer is only Dirabanan, we don't have a base of Migdash anymore, so we only say it because of Dirabanan. So what happens when you say it? When we say Sfiras HaOmer, what's the sentence we say after we've counted? Harachman huyach salanu esavodis beis hamigdash limkoma b'mehira b'mein sela, which tells us that we're sad, what he calls agmas nefesh, we're in pain, that we can't have the Sfiras HaOmer anymore. It's not connected to the base of Migdash, it's connected to the base of Migdash, and there's no base of Migdash, there's no sphere. So it's painful to say sphere, it's not exciting, reminded that we don't have a base of Migdash. Says the Baal Mor, since there's the agmas nefesh, the pain, we can't say a shechianu. So clearly the Baal Mor assumes that a shechianu is about a feeling of simcha, and we don't have that by Sfiras HaOmer. So we see these points in many places. Sorry? That was added later on. The Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim was an added point. But even before then, though, with the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, even aside from that, that itself would be Agmas Nefesh. But that's an added reason. Now, I'll bring one more point. Could we have this in the Gemara and Pesachim? Sorry, I just got a little excited by Shechianu. Yeah. But the Gemara, the very last sugya, what? Which song? So the very last sugya of the entire Masechta here, there's a very random question that's brought. This is the last few lines, the last amud of all of our Yisachim. Rav Simlai was once at a Pidyon HaBen. Okay. There's a connection of Pidyon HaBen to Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why it's probably here. So he was at a Pidyon HaBen, and it's fascinating that they were there and they didn't know the answer to this question. So he says, I understand that the bracha of Pidyon HaBen, that is said, it was Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvos V'Mitzvanu al Pidyon HaBen, I understand that the father says that. When he is redeeming his son, he takes it back from the Kohen, he says the bracha of the mitzvah. But then the question he has, the bracha of Shechianu, he wants to know who should say the bracha of Shechianu. It's a very strange shiloh. Who are the options? Who should say the Shechianu? The Kohen? Or the father? So what would the svaras be of who, why the Kohen should say it, or why the father should say it? So the Gemara says, and this is the very key point. Do you say that the Kohen, the Gemara says this, Kohen Mivarech? The Kamte Hana Liade, he has a Hana? He's getting 5 silver coins. They cost a lot of money, a few hundred dollars, I think. So he's getting Hana, he's Bistar Simcha? Or is it the father that's saying it because he reached a new milestone now? So the Gemara doesn't say that Zman, that other side of the father, but it seems like the Gemara itself might be dealing with this shaila of how Shechianu works, whether it's Midin Simcha or whether it's Midin Zman. So that's the understanding. I'm not sure who's Motzi who, but the Maisa, we say that the Avia Ben is the one who said. So this is the understanding of Shechianu. It's important to always know the background of what we're talking about.
Maybe it's because he has happiness and Zman.
It could also be that he's happy that his son is coming back to him now. He has the Tosus in Bechoros use the Lashon of Zman, though. You take a look at the Tosus in Bechoros, it might be Daf Mem Vav Mem Ches Mem Tes, something like that. He says that he focuses on Zman as opposed to a Shechianu. But that's the general Chakira and Machlokas in understanding the nature of a Shechianu. And we're discussing Shechianu here, whether it goes on Havdalah or doesn't go on Havdalah. So, seemingly, this discussion here, if whether or not Shechianu goes in Havdalah, would not be an inyan of Simcha. There's no Simcha in ending Havdalah, seemingly. It's Shabbos is over. Right, Shechianu is when we begin a Yantif. Right. The question here that the Rashbam says, Shechianu doesn't go in Havdalah, though.
Right.
So, the question is, according to Rav Harwitz, who felt that Shechianu does go in Havdalah, it sounds very strange that Shechianu would go in Havdalah. So what could be part of this is, so we'll get to, hopefully we'll keep that in mind, the Zman versus Simcha, and maybe at the end we'll try to piece everything together. Let you now talk about a different topic, Havdalah, and then hopefully everything will connect. So Havdalah in general, which we're talking about, Shechianu, whether it goes in Havdalah or not, let's understand the nature of Havdalah. So the Rambam writes, I must have shared this with you before, that when I had my Faher with Rav Shechta to get into the Kol Elyon, why use Kol Elyon, which is a post-Michas Kolel, so the way it works is you have to meet with the various Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Shechter, Rav Wulig, Rav Rosenzweig, Rabbi Charlap at the time, I'm forgetting who else, or Bleich, so they, and Rav Rosenzweig, so they can ask you any question that they want, it's up to them. So Rav Shechter is known to be the hardest one because because everything is very simple to him, you know, from Tumma to Tara to Hilchas Brachas, it's all just as easy. So even though we have in our own minds and our own abilities what's easy, what's hard, everything's very easy to him. So he could get you on any day. So I must have told you all, I'm not going to share all the stories with you. I have many. Of that like 20-minute faher, there's so many things that came out of that conversation. But at one point he had asked me, we were discussing about whether or not, it was right after Pesach. And he asked me the question, whether you say Sfiras Omer first or Havdalah first. That was the question, Rav Shechter. Which one comes first? So I was discussing with him, Tadir, Vashino Tadir. Havdalah is more Tadir, and Sfiras Omer isn't as Tadir. We only say it during one period of the year. Havdalah is every single week. And the other thing I discussed with him was whether or not Havdalah is Deraisa Derabanan. When it comes to Tadir v'Sheino Tadir, we also have to weigh in Deraisa versus Derabanan. There's a discussion whether Deraisas should always precede Derabanan. That's a machlokas. So we're saying, was Havdalah Deraisa, or is it only Derabanan? So based on I quoted this Rambam here, that Rambam writes, which he knew, of course, but yes. But the Rambam says that, by the way, Rav Shechter, there's a Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, in case you didn't know. So, of course, he knew this, but I was sharing the Rambam and answering the question that the Rambam says, Kishem, there's a mitzvah asay of Kiddush, and he says, just like there's a mitzvah asay of Kiddush, there's also a mitzvah asay of Havdalah. The Rambam equates Kiddush and Havdalah together. And the Achorim understand that Havdalah is Daraisa according to the Rambam. It's all Bechlal Zachor. Right? It says Shamar V'Zachor in the Luchos, Shamar is mitzvah los asay, and Zachar is a mitzvah asay, including Zachar is the mitzvah of Havdalah. Havdalah and Kiddush are intertwined. The Magen Mishnah, however, quotes others who think Havdalah is only mid-dirabanan. While Kiddush is deraisa, everyone agrees Kiddush is deraisa. That no one can contend with. But Havdalah, this machlok is whether it's a deraisa or whether it's a dirabanan. So some important afkaminas. The Gemara talks about whether a nazir, yeah.
When you say kiddush, which is kiddush?
We'll get to that in a second.
Over the bread, or
yeah, well, exactly. We'll get to that in a second. But the concept of kiddush is certainly a deraisa. So this becomes very relevant when it comes to a nazir. And your point is going to come out now with this nazir. The Gemara has a very, very ambiguous Gemara about the nazir's role in Kiddush and Avdala. We know a nazir is not allowed to drink wine among not getting tamei mace and not cutting his hair. So what does he do about Havdalah Kiddush? Let's say the Nazir is by himself. And he's alone by himself for Shabbos. And he needs to make Kiddush. He needs to make Havdalah. So Kiddush he could make on bread. But what about Havdalah? You can't make Havdalah on bread. Does he not make Havdalah? What does he do about this? So it ends up becoming, question is, how important is Havdalah? Is Havdalah Deraisa or is Havdalah Derabanan? So Tosas Rosh addresses this question. And he says that the Havdalah, that Kiddush, the first opinion is that Kiddush, as David was saying, you don't really need wine for Kiddush. You could just say the words, just say the text. You could say it on bread. You could even say it, if you have no bread, just say it. Just say the words. And you've been Yotze Kiddush. But then he quotes Rav Yosef in this Tosas Rosh that he understands the Gemara differently. He quotes the name of Rabbeinu Clonimus Ish Romi, a Roman Rishon, so from Rome. So that a Nazir is allowed to drink Kiddush wine, and he could drink Havdalah wine. The Nazir, and he reads the Gemara in a different way. So he says, Rabbeinu Tam says back, I understand how he's allowed to drink Kiddush wine because Kiddush is deraisa, and he also thinks that the wine is also deraisa. There's machlokas of what you're pointing out, that he thinks not only is Kiddush deraisa, but the wine is also deraisa. So I can understand why a Nazir is able to docha that iser, to fulfill the mitzvah aseh of Kiddush when in wine, he's allowed to drink. But he says, how could you say Havdalah on wine? Havdalah is only derabanan. How could the derabanan of drinking Havdalah wine be docha iser deraisa of being a Nazir? So what comes out from this Gemara, from this Tosas Rosh rather, these Rishonim, is whether or not Havdalah is a deraisa or not. One opinion thinks, Rav Yosef, in the name of Rav Clonimus, thinks that Havdalah on wine is deraisa, and for that reason a Nazir should drink the wine. And the other opinion thinks, oh, it's only derabanan, and therefore the Nazir should not drink the wine. So that's a nafka mina about whether Havdalah is deraisa versus derabanan, whether or not a Nazir should be drinking the Havdalah wine or not. Now, another nafka mina, important point here, is the relationship of Havdalah to Kiddush is whether or not one should be saying Yetzias Mitzrayim during Havdalah, which we don't say. I mean, that's just a question. Minchas Chinuch says, if, in fact, Kiddush and Havdalah are connected, and they're both learned from the Pasuk of Zachar, Yom HaShabbos, L'Kadsho, the Pesukim go on to say that it's Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if Zachar is including Havdalah, shouldn't we be saying Zechias Yetzias Mitzrayim in Havdalah? Which we don't. We say it in Kiddush. The Gemara in Pesachim says you have to say it in Kiddush. It's part of the Nusach of Kiddush. How come we don't say it in Havdalah? And that's just the Tzarach Iyin that the Minchas Chinuch leaves out. He doesn't give an answer. So the answer might be, though, I'll leave it up to you. What do you think the answer might be? If you assume Havdalah is not the Raisa, then there's no question. You don't have to say Yitzias Mitzrayim in Havdalah. If you do assume Havdalah is the Raisa, rather, how come we don't say Yitzias Mitzrayim in Havdalah?
Because now we're getting up to Chol.
But see, if we're saying it's part of the pasuk of Zachar, and the Zachar says Yitzias Mitzrayim.
It's closing the loop on Shabbos.
That's what I think. So in other words, Kiddush and Havdalah are connected. Once you said in Kiddush, Havdalah just closes the loop. When you said it during Kiddush, Zechias Yitzias Mitzrayim, it's Ke'ilu you said it during Havdalah. It's just a Hamshacha. It's one long continuous bracha, if you will. While in all Kiddush, it's not two independent brachas. It's all connected, closing the loop. And therefore, when you said it during Kiddush, it was fulfilling your obligation of having to say it during Havdalah. Now, this point of Havdalah being deraisa derabanan becomes very halach lamaisa with women. Are women chayv in Havdalah, or are they not chayv in Havdalah? And this is a machlokas rishonim. If you assume Havdalah is a deraisa because it's learned out from Kiddush, so then women are chayv in Kiddush, we know. Shamar b'zachar, the Gemara says, kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zachira. That whoever's chayv in the los haseis of the Shabbos, and women are chayv in all los haseis except for which three? I know which three women are not. They chayv to keep every los haseis in the Torah except for three. The peyos of the beard of the corners of the hair. Exactly, you can't cut the corners of the hair, the beard they're allowed to cut, and also tumah meis. So the kohenes is allowed to become tumah meis. Those are the only three los haseis that they are allowed to violate. It's a mishnah kedushin daf chavtes. All other lo's haseis they must keep. So they have to certainly keep lo's haseis of Shabbos. So since they have kol sheyeshna b'shmira, yeshna b'zechira, the chayv in the zechira, the haseis of Shabbos, which means Kiddush, and if you assume Havdalah is deraisa, it means also Havdalah. But if you assume that Havdalah is only midirabanan, so women are not chayv in saying Havdalah either, because it's not part of zechira, it's only din dirabanan. And this is very halach lamaisa. We paskin that the women should not say Havdalah. They should not say it by themselves, unless they're really stuck. Pi Kabbalah, there are reasons that women shouldn't say Havdalah either, connecting to Adam and Chava, beyond my understanding, but they shouldn't say it. And therefore, the only time we let them say it is if they no one is around, no man's around for them to say it, then we say, okay, you can rely on the Shita to allow for it. But we very much discourage a woman from saying Havdalah based on Kabbalah and based on even the Halacha as well. Now, interestingly, the Taz says, why can't they say Havdalah? What's wrong with them saying Havdalah? What happens your wife wants to shake Lulav? So is she allowed to say, she doesn't have to shake Lulav, it's a mitzvah asay, she has man grama. If sukkah, does she have to eat in the sukkah? She doesn't have to eat in the sukkah, but if she does, is she allowed to say bracha? She could say bracha le'sheba sukkah. Svardim don't. Svardim say they can't. But Ashkenazim let them say brachas, even by mitzvah asay, she has man grama. They're not chayav to do so, but they can if they want. But at least everyone agrees that women can do mitzvah asay, she has man grama. Even Svardim let them do the mitzvah. They're just the machlokas whether they should say the bracha. And Ashkenazim paskin, I think everyone here but one are Ashkenazim here. So I'm sorry, Dr. Simai, but for the Ashkenazim at least, we allow them to say brachas on mitzvahs aseh shesman grama. So why can't they say the bracha of Havdalah if it's also a time-bound mitzvah? So what the Taz explains is because when the mitzvah is deraisa, but the zman grama, it's only one negative, it's only one limitation, it's zman grama, we let them say bracha. But if it's also derabanan and also zman grama, that's already too far away from their obligation, in which case the Taz says that's why women don't say brachas on Havdalah. But if you assume Havdalah is deraisa though, and then it's zman grama, then one would allow Nashim to say the Havdalah. So that's part of the machlokas. So now after having the background in Havdalah, let's... You know, that I agree. If you say it's one long loop, that was under the assumption that Havdalah is deraisa. So if Havdalah is deraisa, then we allow them to say it. But once you agree that Havdalah is derabanan, then it becomes independent. And therefore, the halachas are not going to have to carry through. So now let's talk about Havdalah for Yantif. So the Rambam has a very... whenever you see the Rambam say Kishem, Kishem is always making an equation. So Rambam writes in number 8, Kishem shemekadshin b'leile Shabbos u'mavdilin b'motzei Shabbos. Just like you make Kiddush Havdalah on every single Shabbos and Motzei Shabbos, so to kach mekadshin b'leile yamantovim u'mavdilin b'motzeiim. You make a Kiddush and Havdalah on Yontif as well. Now the Magen Mishnah says, the Rambam holds that Kiddush and Havdalah is only dirabon on a Yontif. It doesn't seem to be that way at all. And the Minchas Chinuch says as well, that it sounds from the Rambam that just like Kiddush and Havdalah is deraisa on Shabbos, it's also deraisa on Yantif. So that's the Rambam's understanding. It's an equation of Havdalah, of Shabbos to that of Yantif. But I think one could say, even though that might be the case, I think there's room to suggest that maybe, although Kiddush, and therefore what? And therefore I would say, if you were to categorize Havdalah, Havdalah of Shabbos, Havdalah Yantif are all the same thing. It's ending Kodesh and beginning Chol. But I think there's room to say that there might be a difference when it's a Havdalah between Shabbos into Yantif. Because the Nusach that we say is very different. Kodesh. We can be Kodesh to Kodesh, we say. You're separating between Kiddush and Kiddush, between Kedusha and Kedusha. And therefore, since the Havdalah on Shabbos to Yantif, from Shabbos to Yantif, is different in the Nusach, it would also be different in the nature of the Havdalah, and would be different than every single Havdalah of the year. And I think this might be able to explain Rav Horowitz's understanding. Mm-hmm. Rav Horowitz was saying that doesn't the Shekhinu go in Havdalah? And Rashbam says, no, it doesn't go Havdalah. Why would Havdalah get a Shekhinu? We say Havdalah every single month of Shabbos. Mm-hmm. But I think the point would be, it's a unique Havdalah from Shabbos to Yantif. It's not ending a Shabbos, but it's a continuity. It's really connecting. It's a fusing between Shabbos and Yantif. It's not so much a Havdalah, but it's more of a bridge between Shabbos and Yantif. And therefore, the nature would be very, very different, and that may warrant a Shekhyanu.
But it's a bridge that you're still acknowledging with a separation.
No, it says Ben Kodesh to Kodesh, we say. We're not saying Ben Kodesh to Chol anymore. Right. We conclude the Bracha Ben Kodesh to Kodesh, the different types of Kedushas, but it's not so much ending a Kedusha to begin something Chol. It's a transitioning over from one Kedusha to a different Kedusha. And the very fact that the Nusach is different, perhaps that would be why the Rav Horowitz thinks that the Shekhyanu would even go on Havdalah. How often do you have a Shabbos into Yantif? It's very, very rare. So that would be the explanation. While the Rashbam says, no, Just because we say being Kodesh LaKodesh doesn't mean it's different. It's all Havdalah. It's a different Nusach than what we normally say in Amatei Shabbos, but still Bechal Havdalah, and it's nothing unique at all.
So how separate is separate?
Right, how separate is separate is part of it.
So it's only when we're going down in Kedusha, not when we go up in Kedusha?
Correct. We don't say Abdullah when it's Yontif leading into Shabbos. If Yontif is Friday, we do not. That's the one time we don't say Abdullah.
So if we're saying it's not just that it's from Kodesh to Kodesh. It's from higher Kodesh to lower Kodesh.
Correct, yeah.
So it's not just because it's a bridge.
No, here it's serving as a bridge between...
You would also say if you're going to a higher level of Kedusha, you would also have a bridge.
No, they point out that when you go up from Yontif to Shabbos, it would be inappropriate to let the Yontif... I forget how there's a mashal that the Rashbam brings. I forget how the mashal is about the king and the governors coming in.
The
different dukes and different levels of people escorting them or not escorting them. It seems to be just a different Indian of kavod that we give Yontif versus Shabbos. But whatever the reason is for why we don't have between Yontif and Shabbos, certainly from Shabbos to Yontif, the fact that the Nusach is different tells us that the Havdalah is serving slightly a different function than that of a typical Havdalah. It's not simply... Havdalah normally is almost ending a Kedusha, and it's over. Here it's transitioning the Shabbos Kedusha into Yontif Kedusha. Yes, there are differences. Tosfos points out, what does it mean being Kodesh LaKodesh? It means Shabbos Kedusha is different that we can't cook. But Yontif Kedusha is different because now there's a Heter Ochel Nefesh. So there is some Havdalah that's taking place there, but still a Havdalah on a Kedusha Dika level, in which case it's not serving so much to end anything, it's more to transition between the two. Again, I'm suggesting, Rashbam doesn't hold this way. Right. Rashbam doesn't say this. Rashbam thinks that Havdalah from Shabbos to Yontif is just like any Havdalah. There's no Shechianu you say on it. I'm just trying to justify why Rav Horowitz thinks that Shechianu would even go on the Havdalah Shabbos, and I'm suggesting based on this that maybe there's something unique about Shabbos, that Havdalah that takes place between Shabbos and Yontif.
The only Havdalah is really cooking, and like you just said, it's really only cooking.
That's a basic difference, exactly. So now I want to try to bring this back for a sec. Sorry? Right, so I was trying to think about how that connects to Simcha and Zman as well, whether this point of Shechianu would connect to that point. Maybe it's something different about it. Maybe it's a Zman, you know, reaching a new milestone of this is a different type of Havdalah, so it's a new Zman, so maybe it acts differently. I'm not really sure if that connects to this at all.
But,
what?
Or the enter into Yontif is really simple. It's not so much Zman because they're only changing one.
Yes, I'm not sure. I thought that might be play a role. Maybe it does, but I didn't see anything. But either way, that's the discussion. Okay, let's stop here now. The next week is Thanksgiving, so I don't know. We